She Could Go Home, written by Moondahl and read by K-Burb. This is an All for the Game fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. It features the relationships between Allison slash Renee, along with background Neil slash Andrew. It is a post-canon character study featuring bisexual Renee Walker.
She could do anything she wants to. She could do whatever she wants to do. She could go home, but she's not going.
A remnant of Natalie Shields that Renee was never able to turn off was information gathering, the instinct of remembering every tidbit of a person that you could, every fun fact dropped in casual conversation or rumor whispered about in a class, a party trick useful for threat analysis and coming off extremely creepy, but not much else. For example, never have I ever listened to one song on repeat so much that I threw up. The foxes stared at each other in silence. No one drank. That wouldn't do. Renee turned to her target. Take a drink, Matt. Matt's eyes widened. How the fuck did you know that? Renee smiled. An innocent upturn of the lips Allison said made her look angelic even when she was being a little bastard. Nikki chortled from across the circle the foxes had placed themselves in, sitting on the floor of the senior girls' dorm in the no-freshman-allowed post-game hangout. Which song, Matt? I gotta know. Matt turned red. Not telling. He took a drink. Dan giggled from where she sat in his lap, arm wrapped around his neck for support. Of course, Dan already knew the answer. She was Renee's source, drunkenly spilling all of Matt's secrets during last semester's post-finals blackout girls' night. Any secret told to a girl was also told to her best friend, or so the saying went. It was Britney Spears' womanizer, Renee said, shamelessly exposing Matt. The foxes in the circle burst out laughing. Matt gasped in betrayal. Renee, how could you? He dramatically fell backwards before sitting up again.
Wait, no, seriously, how did you know that?
She has her ways, Allison said from next to her. Renee knows all. None of your secrets are safe. Allison's arm swung around Renee's shoulder to pull her close. Renee's cheeks warmed. She didn't look at Allison, eyes staring down into the solo cup iced tea resting in her hands, forcing her body to relax against Allison's side. She was close enough that she could smell the honey vanilla scent of Allison's shampoo, the lilac of her perfume. She was too aware of Allison's body, the places they touched a line of fire on her skin. Out of the corner of her eye, she could see the wave of Allison's blonde hair, the blink of her long mascaraed eyelashes over smoky gray eyes, the hypnotizing movement of her chest as she breathed. Renee turned away from her, desperate for distraction. Movement to her left caught her attention, and Renee looked over her shoulder. Outside of the circle, Andrew and Neil sat quietly next to each other, not participating in the game. Neil had Andrew's right hand in his palm, attention fully on whatever he was tracing there. Andrew was taking sips from the bottle in his other hand. Andrew's head turned to look at Renee, sensing her eyes on him with that hyper-aware cat-like sixth sense she and Neil shared with him. Traumatic childhoods and all that. He looked pointedly at Allison's arm around Renee's shoulder and raised a single eyebrow. Renee turned away to look at the middle of the circle. Nikki was making a nuisance of himself, still needling Matt. Carefully, Renee brought her left hand behind her back into a middle finger salute. A quiet snort from behind her told her the message was received. It was Aaron's turn to ask a question.
Never have I ever wanted to kiss someone on this godforsaken team.
Loud laughter as everyone drank. Dan heckled Kevin, demanding who on the team he wanted to kiss. Kevin turned red and continued to chug his drink without a word. Renee drank too, in the spirit of everyone else's honesty. Nikki loudly gasped. Renee, you drank. Who is it? Is it Andrew? Kevin? Neil? Allison's arm tensed from where it still rested around Renee's shoulders. Renee laughed. I would say I've wanted to kiss quite a few people on this team, Nikki. We are a rather attractive bunch, and I'm very bi. There was another silence. Then the room exploded into chaos. From a certain point of view, Renee had terrible taste when it came to who she found attractive. She couldn't help but love broken people. Dan and her defensive anger, Andrew and his impenetrable walls that forbid touch, Jean and his desperation for a lifeline. People with shattered glass hearts, painstakingly glued back together piece by piece until whole. People transformed by their pain into something harder and colder, the soft bits of themselves locked up tightly in mountains, impenetrable to everything but kindness. In them, she recognized something of her past, the echo of Natalie Shields and the hard glints of their eyes. Renee was a broken person, saved by kindness, saved by God, and she was drawn to those for whom she desired to be their salvation, the helping hand offered to them when they had none, the fantasy of saviorism she held deep down in her heart. That was why in her renewal she donned the clothing of Christian goodness and gentle smiles. In retrospect, it made perfect sense that Renee ended up on a team like the Foxes. Allison, however, was an anomaly. Oh, she was broken like the rest of them. You couldn't be a fox without the world having stomped all over part of your soul, but Allison didn't need saving. She had wrenched herself out from the boot of her family, picked up an Xyz stick, and forged her own path forward, flipping a middle finger along the way at all who told her she couldn't do it. She had clashed with Dan and Renee when they first met, seemingly out of place with the way she threw around her wealth, social status, and beauty without a second thought. But then the three of them came together in alliance against the siege they faced from the rest of their very male and bitter teammates. Soon enough, the walls of weary camaraderie and reluctant partnership melted, and the three of them became inseparable friends. But below Allison's bravado was a well of grief, a lonely girl she buried beneath her layers of cattiness and anger. Renee glimpsed that girl after Seth died, Allison catatonic in their dorm and deep enough in her mourning that her layers were stripped. It was then, as she draped a blanket over Allison's curled-up form on the couch, that Renee for the first time wished she could turn back time. She wanted to fall onto her knees before Allison, offer herself up to her for punishment for failing to keep him safe in the fold of her protection. She wanted to resurrect Seth from the dead, bring him back so that Allison might lose the lifeless cloud in her eyes. She wanted to storm Evermore, if Andrew's theory was true, take back her knives and gut Rico like a fish. She loved Allison, she realized with devastating clarity. She loved Allison for her brutal honesty, for her strength in choosing to do things on her own terms, rather than staying in the comfortable bubble of her parents' approval, for her refusal to bend to others' expectations of her. Renee loved Allison violently, like a wildfire, a destructive force of nature that would burn anyone that got too close. She was helpless to it, and she would never act on it. Renee was a makeshift person, a paper model where there was supposed to be an already constructed marble sculpture. Allison was thrown at sea in her grief, a shipwreck survivor clutching the last plank. She needed a rock to hold onto amidst the storms, someone to keep her steady and grounded, not another force of change. Renee could be her friend, would always be her friend, would forever share with her the bond of sisterhood that came with being the first female foxes. But Renee could not let herself become anything more, for if she came too close, she would become yet another shipwreck, sentencing Allison to the storm. After Aaron's loud lamentation over being the only straight person on the team, which Renee had doubts about, Matt's call for shots, Nikki pouring a celebratory round for everyone, and Dan crushing Renee's ribs with a hug, the party finally broke up, and everyone headed back to their rooms. Andrew gave Renee a nod as he left, dragging a drunk Kevin behind him. Neil was glued closely to Andrew's side, smiling. Neil's smiles, a rarity before, came much easier now, especially around Andrew. It was nice to see. Dan filed out with Matt, helping him support a swaying Nikki and Aaron, leaving Renee alone in the room with Allison. Allison hadn't said a word. Now she stood in the center of Fox Party detritus, the empty cups and food wrappers, and stared holes into Renee's head. "Am I one of them?" she asked suddenly. "What? Am I one of the foxes you've wanted to kiss?" Renee must be drunk, because surely those words were not coming out of Allison's mouth. "Why are you asking this?" "Answer the question," Allison said, crossing her arms and lifting her chin. "Do you want to kiss me?" Renee could answer honestly. This was the temptation of what she wanted presented before her, Allison Reynolds delivering herself up in a pretty little bow. She couldn't. The door slammed open, announcing Dan's return to the room. "Ladies," she shouted. "Who is ready for the after party?" She brandished more bottles she probably stole from the boys as payment for dragging them back to their dorm. "I'm tapping out for the night," Renee said, taking her chance to escape. "It's late, and I have to wake up to go to church tomorrow morning."
"Boo, Allison." She held up a bottle.
Allison studied Renee for a few moments before extending her hand towards Dan. "Yeah, why not? Give it." Renee wished them both goodnight to the music of Dan's cheers and turned to head to the bathroom. She ignored the gnawing instinct in her gut that told her she was running away. There was a strange tension between Renee and Allison after that. Loaded silences when they were alone together. A lingering of eyes that would last a little too long. But neither of them were willing to address it. Not that there was anything to address, Renee thought. And with graduation encroaching upon them, there was plenty of distraction that would let them avoid a confrontation indefinitely. Dan was heading to an assistant coaching job in Columbia. Allison, to the shock of those who didn't truly pay attention to her, was going pro. She was signing with a team in Chicago. Renee was going to join the Peace Corps, the natural direction for her quest for goodness to take. The three of them would be parting ways, heading on their own paths. At graduation, they wrapped their arms around each other for Matt to take a picture, Renee in the center with Allison and Dan on each side of her. Renee's fingers clung to their robes without her permission. She didn't want to let go, but the march of time stopped for no one. This was the end of her time as a fox. It was time to step forward into the future. Renee had an ephemeral relationship with personhood. She declared for herself who she would be and who she would become, and to do that, she killed her past self to let herself have a new start. Natalie had only known how to survive, how to do what was necessary to make sure she got enough to eat and that her heart would still be beating the next day. She didn't know how to live, how to laugh, how to love. She only knew the nasty shortness and brutality of life. Every time Renee encountered something new, she saw the delineation between herself and Natalie grow deeper and deeper. When she gave herself a new name, when she closed her eyes to say grace with Stephanie and found herself meaning it, when she covered up her tattoos and scars with conservative clothing, she would decide for herself who she would be. Still, she remained steel forged in the fires of gang violence. Shards of Natalie snuck through, the knives she couldn't bring herself to let go of yet. She managed them through restrained outlets, playing Xe to release aggression, but only letting herself play goalie unless requested to do otherwise. Weekly spars starting in her third year as a fox, but only with Andrew and only at his request. Being always prepared to physically fight, but only if there was trouble first. The temptation of violence hung over herself every morning when she asked herself what was the point of trying to be better when the world was so cruel. If this was truly who she was, and why this was who she wanted to be. again and again, she answered yes and got up. Dan's letters kept her updated on the going-ons of the various foxes. She told her of the ups and downs of Neil's captaincy, the chaos of the current batch of new foxes, the teams Matt and Kevin were considering, and Allison's terrible new boyfriend. Renee would respond with souvenir trinkets for each fox, and then would allow herself one ill-advised hookup with the nearest blonde. She felt like she was doing good in the Peace Corps, and yet there was that voice that whispered to her every night that she was in another country.
Coward,
it accused.
You're still running away. You never stopped.
She knew full well what she didn't want to face, and yet she wrote her letters every chance she got.
Dear Allison,
they would start.
Today I saw a woman wearing beads the color of your eyes and thought of you,
they would say.
Every time I breathe, I miss the scent of lilacs.
They wouldn't. Allison never sent a response, but still Renee sent her letters. In the night, she felt alone, despite being surrounded by people. For the first time in years, she felt the itch for a knife, the security of keeping a way to defend herself under her pillow. Her visits home made it all that more difficult. Eating Stephanie's home-cooked meals, seeing the foxes, hugging Dan, and feeling her heart stutter and start seeing Allison. It was getting harder and harder to wake up every day and keep on this path she had chosen. She was losing herself. Ironically, in her pursuit of wanting to transform herself, she was hollowing herself out into a shell. Where did Natalie Shields end and Renee Walker begin? Who was Renee? And what did she do besides try to help people? She didn't know. As she finished her 2 years of residency abroad, she knew she wouldn't find the answers there. No more running. It was time for her to go home for good. The next full gathering of foxes occurred at Nikki's wedding. They met in Stuttgart in a great hubbub, loud and chaotic the way only foxes could be. Renee found herself smiling genuinely to be among them. Even after years apart, they were still who she was most comfortable with. They went out drinking with Eric and his friends. Nikki was the happiest Renee had ever seen him, draping himself over Eric like it would pain him to part from him for even a second. Renee was ever cognizant of Allison, arm wrestling Matt in a corner to a chorus of hooting. From the explosion of cheers, she guessed that Allison won. She let herself be distracted by conversation with Andrew, admiring the pictures of King and Sir he showed her on his phone. Then, she stiffened at the familiar scent of lilacs at her back.
You best go retrieve Neil, monster. I think he's about to start a fight, Allison said.
Andrew gave them both a sarcastic two-finger salute, a college habit he never grew out of, it seemed, and slid off his chair to go find Neil. Allison took it.
Allison, Renee said. It's been a long time.
It has, Allison said. I missed you. That characteristic blunt honesty, Renee couldn't help but smile.
Really? She asked with genuine delight.
Really? You've been out of the country too long, so I have been forced to pester Dan without you here. I think she may murder me one of these days.
So no different than freshman year.
Allison threw her head back in a cackle.
No, I suppose not. Will you be going back to the States after this?
Yes.
How long will you be home this time?
Indefinitely, Renee said. I'm leaving the Peace Corps.
Really?
Shock colors Allison's voice.
Wow, didn't see that one coming.
It was a surprise to me, too. I do still want to help people, but I think I want to do it on a more local basis. I need to take some time home and recalibrate.
I suppose I can relate to that.
The evening wound down as they passed the time talking, playing catch up on the time they spent apart. Allison's season had gone well this year, and she was considering starting a fashion line for women's sportswear. Not for the first time, Renee marveled that they were here, that any of them were here. They were people life had tried to shatter, yet they had been given second chances, and here they were, leaning close to each other. "You know," Allison said, "I read all of the letters you sent me. I kept them in a box by my bed." "Did you really?" Their hands were brushing where they rested on the table before them. "You never sent a response, so I was never sure you got them." "I didn't know what to say at the time, or rather, what I should say. Now I do." Allison leaned closer, once again offering herself up to Renee. Renee, once again faced with what she wanted, this time took the leap and met her in the middle. "I think we should go up to my room," Allison murmured into Renee's ear, and Renee said yes. No more running. The end.